Drop a line and catch some fresh fish. It's more of Go Fish with Mike Buck. Brought to you by POP Fishing and Marine at Pier 38 in Honolulu's Fishing Village. Right here on AM 690 KHNR.
Okay, so I'm calling this Welcome to Fish Guts number two. You know, there's actually so much more than meets the eye to this. I was so excited when I found out last week that one of our segments for this show is going to be fish waste. And I thought to myself, you know, you see a terrific amount of it. As many of you know, you were guest of ours at the fish auction, the United Fish Agency auction. Just there, every single day, there's just bins full of stuff. Now, some of this stuff is fish that, for some reason, is unacceptable for market. Maybe because it's not spoiled, but it's just not market quality. And that fish ends up going to the landfill. And so our guest today, Mark Misuyasu. Mark is the program manager at the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. And we're also meeting today Warren Dominey. He is with Aquafeed Consulting. And we're talking about an opportunity. And I think it's almost a mandate. I mean, we are to a point in the way we are that we're being more conscious of plastic bags, of styrofoam cups, recycling glass, making, you know, old tires in the playgrounds. What are we doing with fish guts? Well, it's going to the landfill. And it's too bad because it really is a resource. And we're learning slowly about it. And to that effect, we're going to now start talking about what some of these numbers are. Warren, you're showing me in the break some pretty incredible numbers. This is, I think, a lot more than the average listener, fisherman, even consumer would really realize, how much waste there is.
Yes, we have. We did a survey, and we used some of the DLNR reports to calculate the amount of fish waste that is available to be stabilized and used instead of going to the landfill as something more contributory to the island states.
You know, here's the thing. I do know that we probably have some initial goals out there.
Yeah.
Mark Misuyasu, let's talk about that just a minute. Because obviously, to make things work, you got to take little baby steps. But would we conceivably, at some point in time, be able to take as much out of the resource of the waste as we are, say, with bottles and cans? I mean, down the road where it's going to be unlikely that too much of it escapes this.
Yeah, and I think there's been a number of attempts and studies that have been done to try and look at this.
Yeah.
And we kind of took a step back and going to your baby steps,
mm-hmm.
and breaking it down to the mom and pop, maybe the smaller scale guys, what they can do with their waste. And I think that's what Warren was trying to do. Because the first cut we did, we looked at it on a statewide basis.
Sure.
At least Oahu-wide basis, because we knew, oh, the auction's here, the waste is being generated here, mm-hmm. the processes are here. So how can we get all of those guys together in one effort to try and create a feed meal plan or something?
Yep.
But so that's one option that's out there. But then the more we look at it, there's the other islands, Kauai, Maui,
and a lot
Big
of fish,
Island.
A lot of, yeah.
They're generating some fish too.
Sure, per and capita more than us probably.
Right, and so how do we – what do they do with their waste? And so that's what Warren did. He went to all the different islands, talked to a bunch of different processors and whatnot. So
let's see if some people, Warren, can wrap their minds around this. Because what I'm thinking here is that the amount is – it's a staggering amount. And, you know, when Mark says baby steps, I can tell you that most restaurants these days – and certainly everybody that's shipping fish to the mainland of Japan, they want only the meat. They don't want any of this other stuff.
Correct.
So these numbers are pretty staggering. Let's try to give our listeners a perspective as how much volume, how much stuff we're talking about based on your survey, your studies.
Well, statewide estimates go from about 6,500 tons per year,
mm-hmm.
using DLNR figures. If we are using our more conservative survey figures, it's about 4,500 tons of this waste being available to be converted into something more useful mm-hmm. than what it is now. So this is quite a bit of stuff.
By the way, this is a pretty big pile of stuff we're talking
about. Oh, yeah.
You know, just do the math.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are – everybody knows that one of the yings and yangs about – aquaculture and fresh, you know, regular pelagic or free fish, that there have been some problems in some of the aquaculture, and it might have been feed related. What we're talking about here is, if you're saying, Ms. Wright, the feed produced by these processes you're talking about is going to be purer and better for its end run, for its end use.
That's correct. What we will be saving if we are able to convert this fish waste into a local feed, which is utilized by our aquaculture community, is that we will bypass the cost of shipping, which is exorbitant.
Everybody says that. Anything coming to Hawaii costs an arm and a leg. Well, what about if you make it here? You know?
We make it here, yeah. We eliminate that specific cost, which is a great advantage to some of the aquaculture producers here.
Would this conservation of the resource, if you will it produce jobs?
Of course, yes, absolutely. If we are able to compete effectively with feeds that are being brought in at this lower price, of course, the industry will expand.
But Mark, you talk about this market is a sashimi top grade market, which means that, theoretically speaking, the palu is top grade too because it's fresh and it's been cured for. I said something coming back in here, and it may not have been accurate. There are some fish that don't pass muster at the auction, whether they've been spoiled in a boat hold, being in the water too long. Are we talking about this being part of that or not?
Definitely. I mean, you could use it, but it might not go into the really high quality fish meal protein kind of.
Okay, so we're talking
it
down
might
the
go
road.
Into the fertilizer bin.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, we got to make sure that we bust this down to good, better, and best.
That's correct. You know? Okay, we can look at a grading system where we can partition the various qualities of the fish processing waste being generated and use them accordingly. In other words, the high quality stuff would go into a feed. The low quality stuff can go into a fertilizer where we can use to grow plants, but not only plants onto the terrestrial realm, but things in the ocean like ogo or various algae.
Yeah, I was going to say this lends it to algae, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Algae that could feed oysters or clams and stuff like that. We could create artificial blooms. Or what we could also do is probably help the Hawaiian fish ponds create food for the animals that they are growing.
Well, one of the things, Mark, Mr. Yasu, that we have to watch out and be careful on is the perception of them and us between a fish farmer and a fish catcher. I'm thinking that if the fish catcher realizes that he can gain profit from turning his, you know, one third of one quarter of what he catches into some sort of compensation, if that compensation goes into feeding the fish, they might not feel quite the amount of resentment. Would you think that we can get a little closer together to that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. As the world gets smaller, we're all in the same boat.
We got to eat, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
I think now best case scenario would come to mind right away, Warren, is to can the this processing that you're talking about sustain without bringing in feed from outside? Can we sustain a fishery, a aquaculture fishery, with what we already have?
That's correct. That is possible. However, at this point in time, we have the fish waste available. However, in the standard or conventional process of making a feed, there is a starch source that is missing.
Okay.
The starch source is usually a terrestrial plant, such as corn, wheat, and et cetera.
I would say taro, but poi is so expensive, we can't probably use poi.
Can use that as a starch source. Yeah. However, what we are looking at is a different type of starch source, like we can get from a seaweed, like an alginate or a carrageenan. And we are looking at this to substitute for the starch that is now going into the feeds that are made for the aquaculture species.
Would there be enough interest entrepreneurially by investors to understand what we're doing here is creating an opportunity, but it's going to need science, it's going to need equipment, it's going to need people.
That's correct. Yeah. It's the whole industry, the feed industry, is geared toward the terrestrial animal. Aquaculture is quite different. And the ingredients that should go into an aqua feed to get the ultimate performance should come from a marine environment.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, Mark, I was thinking of this when Warren was talking, that what actually is an asset is also a liability. If you don't handle this stuff the right way, it can make people sick. I mean, you know, the smell is the smell because of a reason. The smell is the smell because something's really rotten in River City. So what we're talking about is eliminating a lot of stuff going to the landfill and seeing this. What I'd like to know is, based on, you know, the interaction you have with people out in on the street, and not just here, throughout the Pacific, is there an awakening going on here? I mean, Warren's not talking about dreaming. He's talking about reality. Are we getting it?
I think a lot of people are starting to see what the value is. And when Warren did his presentation at our last council meeting, for the council members around the region, the council members are sitting there looking at this and saying, wow, I think there may be some uses back in.
I was going to say, Samoa, I bet some of the, you must be kidding. Yeah. You know, we can use this stuff? Yeah. Come on, you know?
Yeah. So there's definitely opportunity. And there's guys here doing some of it already. And Warren's already talked to some of them. So on a small scale, it is moving.
There are some guys that were very big on composting and other things and that have already figured this sort of out. This is not rocket science, right?
I mean, you
guys really know how to make this work.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes.
What are the challenges?
Okay, what is happening in the system is a lot of people who control the waste are not really understanding how to do the process as well as they should have.
Okay, so I'm up to my ears in waste, but I can't turn it into what I need.
Yes, yeah. And of course, with everyone, there's a learning process that goes on. And Westpac has tried to encourage the knowledge by doing the study, and hopefully we'll continue on and teach and help these new entrepreneurs to get a quality product out of this fish waste.
You know, if you go to it, you're going to learn more about this at aquafeed.com. That's AQUAfeed.com. What am I going to find when I go there?
Okay, there is a whole slew of studies in there. It's an actual industry like a library, an information source, which you can go to, and there's a lot of information that's archival that you can go through and learn about this industry.
I think that this is kind of fascinating because, Mark, you know, it says sometimes if something sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. But in actual fact, when Warren talks about a study, you guys have already done some studies. There's been some really eye-opening information so far.
Yeah, and the latest report that we just did and what Warren presented last
month at the 162nd meeting
is on on the council's website.
Good, which is wpcouncil.org.
Right. If you go on there, there's a report that's called "Fish Processing Waste: A Valuable Co-Product of the Fishing Industry," and in there is the latest information and numbers and some of the processes that are available.
So, has anybody tried to monetize it by saying down the road, say, you know, in what Warren was sort of explaining was there's different categories of waste. Some of it's not as desirable than others. If we can talk about maybe down the road some semblance of, well, yeah, you can get 50 cents a pound or 30 cents a pound or whatever it is, will there be a way to evaluate what somebody can make if they keep good care of their waste and what they can turn it into?
Yeah, in the report, there's a table that talks about what the potential income could be if we could recover that waste and turn it into fertilizer, turn it into fish meal, turn it into these things. So I'll let Warren.
Yeah, Warren. Give you the summary of some of these numbers. Almost all of us that are either commercial, semi-commercial, or weekend warriors, they say, okay, if I got to buy more ice and I got to sit on this stuff and I got to take it somewhere, contributing to the planet, that's all well and good. But what about contributing to my wallet?
Okay, just as an example, if we took all the fish waste on Oahu and we turned into a fish fertilizer, a liquid fish fertilizer.
Which is quality number two. It's not your feed. It's the next one down.
Yeah, it's the next one down. It's the cheapest, or it's utilizing the waste product that has been degraded.
Right.
Okay. If we are able to get a wholesale level of $3.50 a gallon for this liquid fish fertilizer, which goes for probably 15, between $10 and $15 if you go to, let's say, Lowe's or...
To buy it.
To buy it. But at $3.50 a gallon, we can get almost $3 million if all of this waste is converted.
I can hear guys in the background, Mark, ka-ching, ka-ching. you're not going to get rich doing this, but you are going to make money. So I think
instead of paying a disposal cost,
you'll
have an income stream.
Now, that is as a wholesaler or the auction or somebody else. But Joe Average Fisherman, it's still going to be down the road when there are ways to do this worthwhile. What do you envision? Let's say that somebody is a bottom fisherman and they're out there and they're Opelu or Akuli guys and they're gutting the fish and drying them. They got all of this product. They got all of this stuff. If they keep it in good shape, can they take it somewhere?
That's correct. What is happening in the industry today, any fish that's over 20 pounds is gill and gut at sea.
Gotcha.
Also, the swordfish categories where you have all the marlins and such.
Right. It's even
the
higher.
The head, the gut, the tail.
Yeah.
All of that's gone.
Yeah.
And that's quite a bit of fish waste that could be utilized if they brought it back.
Okay, now so there is going to be a line showing the fishermen. But, okay, when you bring this to the auction, it's got to be this temperature and without these parts.
Correct.
Okay, but you can take, Mark, these parts, keep them on the side, keep them on ice, you can sell them too.
Yep, that was... Yeah,
that's the desire, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so to find out more what you're going to do, we could do another couple hours on this standing on our ear, but you're going to go to aquafeed.com and do some searching, do some learning, aquafeed.com, or you go to wpcouncil.org and look at...
The name of the study
what's the name
is
of the study?
Called Fish Processing Waste, a Valuable Co-Product of the Fishing Industry.
Or you can email me at themikebuckshow@aol.com and I will take care of you. We got to do this again, Warren Dominey from Aquafeed Consulting. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark Mitsuyasu, you officially get your own parking stall in our building.
Right.
Back again. Thanks for listening to the program. We'll be back again next week. We're going to be revisiting from the council, Chris Hawkins, and we're going to talk about his part of this Fisherman Survey Part 2. But for right now, thanks for listening. We'll see you again next time. If you want to hear something on the show, you know what to do. Drop me a line. The Mike Buck Show at AOL.com. The Mike Buck Show at AOL.com.